The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Secure the template. Set the backside guide to appropriate locks and basket. The backside guide tabs include setting the jig. Possessing template. What the hell am I reading?
It's time once again to be flabbergasted by the rolling tongue, the juggling of words, thoughts, and phrases like a Spaniard on a tightrope. Here is the one, the only, the man of 2 hours, Frank Cottolo.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, my mother thanks you, my mother thanks you, my sister thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, my mother thanks you, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my mother thanks you, my mother thanks you, my sister thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, my mother thanks you, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my mother thanks you, my mother thanks you, my sister thanks you, my father thanks you, my mother thanks you, my sister thanks you, my father thanks you, my mother thanks you, my sister thanks you, my mother thanks you, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, my mother thanks you, my mother thanks you, my sister thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.
All right, I apologize. I'm really, really sorry. I apologize unreservedly. I offer a complete and utter retraction. The imputation was totally without basis in fact and was in no way fair comment and was motivated purely by malice. And I deeply regret any distress that my comments may have caused you or your family. And I hereby undertake not to repeat any such slander at any time in the future.
Hi, once again, for music and merriment and the king of the ones, Mr. Henny Youngman, to lead the orchestra.
You know, today I found a guy's hand in my pocket and said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want a match." I said, "Why did you ask for?" He said, "I don't talk to strangers." I had an uncle up here, was a psychic, knew the exact day he was going to die. The warden told him. A drunk gets into a taxi. He said, "Take me to the Waldorf Astoria Hotel." He says, "You're at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel." He says, "Next time, don't drive so fast." I got a wonderful doctor. Before the operation, he touches up the x-rays. Guy walks in the doctor and said, "Doctor, I have a ring in my ear. What do I do?" He said, "Don't answer." Another fellow walks in the doctor. The doctor said, "You're going to live to be 60. He said, "I am 60. He said, "What a catch." I said, "Doc, it hurts when I do that." He said, "Don't do that." Doctor said to me, "Get undressed." I said, "Take me out a few times, sir." I'm standing there naked. The doctor says, "Go over the window, stick your tongue out the window." I said, "For what?" He said, "I'm mad at my neighbor." I said, "Doc, I got shingles. They try to sell me aluminum siding." Fellow says to another fellow, "Look, take this gun and go in the bank. Tell her you want the money. Get the money in the bag. Back out. Anybody gets in your way, shoot to kill and come right outside and give me the money. I'll be sitting in the car. And I'm taking all the chances." He said, "You mean to tell me you want me to go in there with the gun, hold up the teller, get the money, back out, anybody gets in the way, shoot to kill, bring the money out to me in the car, and you say you're taking all the chances? How are you taking all the chances?" He said, "I can't drive." Here's one I do myself. I want to do this myself if you like it. As a man lost in the woods comes upon a monastery, a religious building outside the monastery, The friars in their costumes and the monks are working. And he tells them he's hungry and he's lost, and they invite him in. They say, all we have to eat is fish and chips. And he eats the fish and chips, and he loves the fish. He says, I'd like to meet the man who made the fish. They bring a man out and say, you the fish fryer? He says, no, I'm the chipmunk. Next scene, picture this. A funeral procession, two hearses. Behind the hearse walks a man with a vicious dog. And 100 men on the funeral procession. So a fellow steps off the curb and says, what's going on here? He says, my wife and my mother-in-law, my dog bit them. He says, can I borrow the dog? He says, get in line. In the next scene, I'm sitting on the stool having a drink. Over here's a man on the stool having a drink. He falls down three times. I pick him up each time. Bartender, where does this man live? I'll give him a lift home. Tells me where he lives. Grab the man, pull him down to the car, open the back seat, put him in. He falls down. I get to the address they gave me. I pull the man out of the car. He falls down three more times. I pick him up each time. I knock on the door. Mrs. Einstein, I brought your husband home. She says, where's his wheelchair?
Listening to Frank Tolo.
Okay, here we go.
Listening to Frank Tolo.
Well, bad Jack on the Hallelujah Trail.
The Hallelujah.
Ha 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 ha, pal.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, the Bard of Broadcasting now takes his place on the stage to bring you philosophical entertainment and relevant irreverence, Netzerazi, Couple Surfers, Netaholics, and Infomaniacs. That's Infomaniacs. The other kind of maniacs are certainly welcome to. We're here to chronicle. Take my wife, please. Wake up, it's night, everyone. This is the School of Jokes. Stick around, you're going to learn a lot, and tomorrow you're going to be a real funny person. If you're not already, you'll be funnier. I don't know. Y2K plus 13. It gets all around the world. Nice. cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello, and into every bordello. Once again, the curtain opens, and who's there? Me. Me! Capital M, capital E, Frank Catullo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. And this is going to be a rip-roaring, and you know what, you might need an oxygen mask. Now, I don't want to over-endorse this, because what is going to happen, and what might happen, you want it to be as good as it gets. So we're going to do that. Any number of things. This is another Savino Catullo Chronicles with my old partner. I don't mean he's old. I mean my partner of old, my partner of way back when. And you know what's really going to be interesting, and I don't like that word, what's really going to be fascinating, what's really going to be particularly engrossing, I don't want to use the word gross, endearing. That's the endearing. I like that one. What's going to be endearing about this show, about jokes and humor, is the fact that we will be dealing with three different generations of humorists. Three different generations of people will be, two other generations will be assisting Mr. Savino and I. He will be here shortly, I'm sure. Won't he? I guess he will, yes. He's probably caught in traffic on the 101 or something. But he will be here. And then we're going to have now and then co-host, Mr. Jeremy Long, who is a stand-up comedian. He is, what generation would you, he would be the X, no, he's not the X generation. He's from the X-Files, but he's not the X, he's from the, you're not a millennium, you're an X, you're a generation Y? You're a Y. He's a Y. Believe me, he is a Y. We don't know. Well, we will answer that question tonight. See, there's a joke. How do jokes come about? Where did they come from? What makes them so funny? Anyway, so he'd be the generation Y. Tom and I, of course, are the old guard. Let's say we're the old guard. We're the old school. I heard a good joke the other day about old school. Old school. He's not old school. He was the building they knocked down before they built the old school. How do you like that? See, jokes come in many different shapes and forms. And then my son in the background with a hammer. And if I had a hammer, I would hammer him in the morning on the head with it. He was his Thomas Savino. Let's get him right away. Where can we get him right away? Is he there?
He's there.
We're going to get Tom here right away. I wonder if it's a video call.
Yeah, video call.
It will be a video call. Uh-oh. It isn't. No, I'm not. No, I'll call him, and then he'll be on video. That's the deal. So what we have, we're going to have is three generations. Look at this. You know what's funny? And there's going to be a lot of things that are funny here. So we have all the generations. I'm ringing him right now, and he'll come. I think he'll pop up, and we'll be able to see him. Oh, he's got a commercial on. Look at this. They have a commercial.
I have a commercial?
They have a commercial. Fly Emirates to 31. Look at this. Before, wow.
Now.
Before your picture comes up, they show a commercial.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not getting any money from that whatsoever.
Look at this. Advertisement. Book now. I don't want to book now. How do you get rid of this?
That call's gonna make me want to.
How do you get rid of this?
I don't
see his face now. I just see him.
I don't know. You might not be able to see his face.
Why? Why can't I see your face?
I don't know. I can't see it either.
No.
I'm disappointed. As a narcissist, that's very disturbing.
Well, anyway, people know you, and of course, this isn't a television show, so the people listening don't really matter. But
you can hear me, though.
Very well. We got used to seeing your face on this.
That's
here,
weird.
In the studio.
I always thought that these phone call Skype things actually cost money. Am I going to get a bill for this now? Or?
No, you'll not get a bill for this. But I don't understand, since I was always, since you have your camera on, right?
I think he has to call you.
Oh, you have to call me?
Know.
Hey, why don't you try?
I think that's how,
okay,
yes, you have a.
Okay, let's try that.
A tech savvy person there.
Yeah, that's, well, yeah, well, I'll tell you about what's happening. I'm going to end this call and then you call me, okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay, here we go.
See?
Yeah, I turned him off already. See? Yeah, all right. We know the champion of this team. Here it comes.
Okay.
I answered, and there you go.
Now you see me. Now you see me. Now you don't. Well, now you do.
Now we do. And
was there another commercial coming up or no?
No, I was wondering why that happened. I guess that happens because I don't have a camera
attached to my computer, nor do I nor do I put one on there yet. But we do this. But since you were doing that, we like to see you. I was telling everyone, if you just got there, that, and you know what's funny is that it was 9:12 when I saw your name come up on the Skype.
What does that mean?
Well, here's what's funny about this now. Tom, he's doing it. You see how he's drinking? I have everybody here drinking, not now, but I mean everybody in my particular circle knows how you drink coffee with your elbow way up. And when
Really? Yeah, so now they get to see that, too.
Now they get to see it. Well, they don't get No, they don't. We do. Anybody who's in
you in the studio there.
Studio here, yeah. And you just did it, which is great, because now all I got to do is say, everybody drink coffee like Ambanamiam, and there it goes. Everybody puts up their elbow. I got a whole bunch of people do that. But here's the deal, or one of the deals, and that is that when I saw 9:12, that you came online at 9:12, I thought to myself of a joke, because you were always back in the old days. I hate using that word anymore, old, you know. But back in the vintage days, I've called the classic days or the vintage days, all right?
All right.
You were never early for anything. You were known as...
Yes, I know what you're going to say. Your dad always said this,
yes,
too.
Yes, here he comes, the late Tom Savino.
The late Tom Savino. Here I am 3 minutes early.
That's right. It's great. But I thought of that because I thought of jokes, because all we're talking about is jokes. Now, before I saw you online there, I was telling everyone out there, and there are a lot more people than ever out there now that SRN1 has really just shot off into the outer space there. But anyway,
that's good.
Yeah, we're doing great. And thank you for all the tweeting. I heard you were tweeting like mad about this. Good.
Yes.
Good.
Yes, if it helps. And I don't know that – I forget the guy's name. Smith? C. Smith?
Yeah. David C. Smith, yes.
Well, he's been very helpful by retweeting all those tweets, and that's been great.
He's done a great job with that. Amen. But so I'm telling everyone here at the top of the show that we have three generations here between the studio and you. You and I, of course, being the classic vintage generation.
That's nicely put, yes.
And sitting next to me, a late minute edition, is Jeremy Long, who is a stand-up comic. Jeremy is here.
Hey, Tom.
How you doing, Jeremy?
I'm very well. How are you?
Why do I have to repeat it? You're right here. Just lean over. He's such a large man.
You're the one who repeated it.
He's such a large man. Lean over and say hi. That's all.
Hi, Tom. I'm leaning.
Now, Tom, he follows.
You're one
right?
of those progressive people, I guess.
I follow him. I tweeted about him earlier today.
Yes. Jeremy tweeted about you earlier today. Jeremy, I got Jeremy to follow you because I said, you know, you want to hear some great one-liners, and Jeremy loves to steal jokes. I said, if you want to
steal the best, though. That's...
Exactly. He's a true professional. I said, you got to follow Tom Savino, so he follows. Yeah. He's been following you for as long as you have. Also with me, behind me, although I don't know how he's going to get over here. We'll find a way.
I'll stand if I need to.
Yeah, I know he'll do anything he can. Is my son Ray? Who is?
Hey Ray, how you doing?
Is here? Say hi, Ray. Can you?
I'm here now. I'm over here. I'm alive and thriving.
Alive and thriving.
Good. Well, it's good to hear you, Ray.
Ray, of course, tweets jokes and has the sad legacy of mine.
Uh-huh.
he is trying desperately to find a way to express his sense of humor. Of course, he has one because it's in his DNA.
Yeah, I have no doubt.
But he is
no doubt
trying.
About that.
He's trying. He tries very, very hard. And he used to say. He used to actually call me and say, here's what Jeremy Long. Oh, here's a tweet from Jeremy M.D. Long. Tonight I will be on Cotolo Chronicles, co-hosting with the show's fabulous host Frank Cotolo, with very special guest at T.J. Savino. #, don't miss it.
Wow.
So any number of crazy people will be listening.
Great.
And on the
I have I you might want to know that I've offered my students extra credit if they listen tonight and mentions something that was said.
That's, you know, it's funny because we have three different teachers, three different people who do teaching for a living on this show as regulars, panel regulars, and they all do the same thing.
Oh, wow.
If the kids come in, some of them are college, and they come in the next day and they say something, they get credit.
I'm going to drop a little hints throughout the show for them to tell Tom tomorrow.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Great idea.
That is. So
we have a lot of cooperation here. It's working very well.
So we have three. We have actually there's more than three, but we'll keep your identity quiet. We have another onlooker live here in the studio.
Really, a secret person?
A secret person.
Secret.
Okay.
But that's okay because we got the three generations of people who have some kind of
Communicability.
I thought it's
communicability.
I thought it said communicability, which I said that's not a word, is it?
I don't think it's a word. No.
Well,
communicability is.
Which one?
Communicability.
Comedic ability, a two word. That's two words.
We all have some sort of comedic ability.
We do.
Some more than others.
You know, listen to this. Here's another odd. Somebody gave, I think it was David C. Smith, who gave this. I said, look up Henny Youngman. He's our researcher here. And I said, I want to do in the collage, the opening collage, I think he's like the quintessential one-liner joke guy, right?
Yeah, Henny, sure.
So he gave me this clip, and I played it at the beginning of the show. I played it. During the opening collage, and I didn't realize until it was playing that it was from a show that you're gonna know this now, Tom. Okay, it's from a show that was called, it probably still is called, but it doesn't exist anymore. A show called Bizarre.
Bizarre.
Go ahead.
Bizarre was the show that wasn't that the show that we almost wrote for.
That is correct. See. Yes.
Yes. And in fact, got the position, but at the last minute we're told because we were not Canadian.
Yes.
We couldn't.
Yes. John Biner was the host.
Yes.
And
yes,
we met with Bob Einstein. Remember?
Yes.
He liked us. We met with Bob Einstein. Do you know Bob Einstein is Albert Brooks' brother? You know that, right?
No, I didn't.
Really?
I did not know that.
Because, believe it or not, Albert Brooks' real name is Albert Einstein.
Now wait a minute.
Yes, their real name.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you.
It's a good liner. I mean, it doesn't.
It's true.
Real, it's even better.
It's true. Yes, it's true. And we
Albert
met with
Einstein
because Bob Einstein, who you know is what? You know Super Dave, correct, Johnny?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, everybody knows Super Dave. You know Super Dave?
No.
Okay, Ray doesn't know. But you with these generations and this, there's a big gap here. You okay? You look like you were going to throw up there for a second.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, I may.
Okay,
I feel fine.
Okay, we can't refer to looking at him because nobody else could see him, so we'll just do that. And I thought that was really odd, that here he is doing all these jokes on the show we were supposed to write on that show, and here was and here it was. So I thought that was a weird little coincidence there.
Well,
anyway.
Oh, yeah, that is, yeah.
If
I ever write a memoir, it would be Close But No Cigar would be the title of it, yeah.
Would be the title of the...
What about Close But No Bizarre?
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah, but that what the whole
that
book's
would be
the
chapter one.
Yeah, exactly. You see? It couldn't be the whole book unless it was a... How could you write a whole book about that experience? Here's something we almost did. And you could
write...
You
have the whole series of something I almost did.
Yeah, right. That's... But... And then, well, in any event, I just thought I'd mention that because that was a wild coincidence. Now, Jeremy here you've never heard, Jeremy actually has some good routine. He's got a good set.
Oh, okay.
How tight is your set now?
How tight?
Move in? Yeah, come on.
Again. Okay.
Yeah, move in when you talk, okay? There you go. How many do you think you got? 10 minutes? 5 minutes? What do you got that's really tight?
Oh, a really solid 15 minutes, I would say. Maybe 20.
That's good, isn't it?
Hello?
Tom?
Yes. My screen just went dead.
Really? Because we could see you.
Oh, okay. Okay, there I am.
Okay.
It gets very disturbed if I can't see myself for more than, Okay, I'm sorry. Sorry, I interrupted.
Do you hear what he said? I get very disturbed if I can't see myself.
I told you I'm narcissistic.
That is narcissistic, yes.
That's very deep narcissistic.
But so he says he's got like a 15-minute set. That's a pretty solid set.
Mm.
Okay. And he will. You're gonna tell us some of your, you're gonna do some of your jokes later.
Yeah,
but
sure.
That, okay, he'll do some of that later. But we're gonna talk about jokes, and we're gonna look into the jokes about that stuff. But I saw this other thing today. I just want to mention it. It was something that what are you laughing at already?
There's the girl on the picture.
What? Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you something that's funny, too. You know who that is? That's supposed to be Anne Hathaway. I got a cartoon of Anne Hathaway in front of me.
Pretty much looks like her.
Oh. Yeah.
Hear what he said? That pretty much looks like her. I guess that's what he was aiming to do.
It's basically just a crude drawing of a giraffe.
Boy, we're going to – I'm telling you, some of the stuff that is going to be
– You know what? You know how you put a little picture on the description of the show after you post it? You should put that picture up.
Put that picture of Anne Hathaway. Can I just here? Judd Apatow, of course, is a writer, guy who could and he's written some very popular books. You know him, right? And movies and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
The neat thing about him is that he said he couldn't do stand up. He was horrible.
He's terrible at it.
Yeah.
He wrote the movie Funny People, which is all about doing stand up. And there's bonus features of him attempting to do stand-up comedy.
Mm. Yeah, and he's horrible, but he wrote this because he does. But you don't have to do stand-up. Oops.
And you ripped it.
I just ripped it. You don't have to do stand-up to write jokes. This is you don't even have to deliver a joke, how to deliver it. But he said this, and I thought this was great. I just happened to back into this today. The moment you think of a joke is the best moment.
That's true.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. There's a certain feeling you get. I know that. You know that feeling.
I get really excited and I whip out my tape recorder and I record it.
He said tape recorder. You still have a tape recorder?
I have a tape recorder to record my jokes, yeah.
I'm going to hold this mic. It's easier.
But like really with tape?
With tape in it?
Yeah, like the little
magnetic tape?
Yeah, not like a big old-fashioned cassette tape, but like a little DV tape.
You mean it's not digital? It's tape?
Yeah, it actually has a tape.
Wow!
Wait, even I don't have that anymore.
Wait, okay. Now here's the third generation joke. Here's what. Okay, listen to this. Okay, this is how it waters down. It's like a copy. It's a copy of a copy of a copy. Okay, you said tape, magnetic tape. He said tape, and then Ray said
Scotch tape.
And I'm like, and you know what? He thinks that's funny, but the point is, no, it was Scotch tape. It was Scotch made that tape. Scotch made that tape. It's recording tape. Yeah, really.
Oh, I thought it was like the adhesive kind of tape.
Scotch was a company that made tape, and they made that tape. So you see, you got a
tape?
Yes, they were a tape company. A tape company.
The original name of the company was Tape for Us.
That's, see?
Real creative.
So it's like I'm always telling Ray, number one, know your audience. Okay.
Yeah.
You don't get up and tell Nazi jokes at the Jewish Benign League or whatever, right? You don't do that.
Absolutely.
And you don't tell KKK jokes. Hey, did you ever see the Chappelle, Dave Chappelle?
Dave Chappelle.
He did a he does a routine about the blind white supremacist.
Yes.
And the blind white supremacist is a Negro. It's great. And he's walking around with the hood on, and they don't know what he's saying. And he's screaming about white people, about black people being horrible and everything like that. And then, and he goes to meetings and everything, and when they take his hood off, it's really funny. Okay. But anyway, this is one of the things that makes jokes funny. Now, let's just go around the room here. We'll start with Tom, because I just don't know.
But he's not in
and say, like, give us a joke, Tom, and give us, like, any kind of, like, one-liner. Could be yours, could be anyone else, something you remember. And then just, like, take it apart. That's funny.
A one-liner. Or,
what do you mean? Maybe a two-liner? Okay, a two-liner. Is that what you're saying?
What about three? God. Can it be like a full-fledged joke, or does it have to be a one-liner?
Can I write an essay about it?
I don't know. I just made this up now. I don't know. Are there rules? Tom, tell us a joke. Tom, tell us a joke and tell us what element makes it funny, because there are only a certain amount of elements, right? The same joke, people say it differently 8,000 times, right?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, so go ahead.
Okay, here's a. This was one of those moments, a Judd Apatow moment, when. I was substituting for the science teacher, and joking around with the kids. And I noticed that she had a poster in the classroom that was talked about carbon dating. See, and the joke just sprung. And I knew what the joke was right away. I said I'm so old. That I can't do, I'm screwing up the joke right now. It's a lot better than it was, but it's like the only dating I could do is carbon dating. Yeah. Okay.
And everyone,
the laughter though. So
no, we don't have a laugh track, but we do want to. There was laughter behind us. Do that laugh again. See?
Oh, that's nice.
That's an honest laugh. Hear it? That's an honest laugh.
Is that the secret guest?
Yes. Yes, that's the secret guest. Okay.
It's very mysterious.
Now, what makes that funny? Why is that a joke and not just a statement? Listen to this, Ray, will you?
Well, you know, when you told me we were going to talk about this subject of what makes things funny and stuff, of course, I got all my notes out and things. And there's a great book, actually, by Max Eastman. And I think you're familiar with Max Eastman, Frank. Not personally familiar with him. He's long dead. But I think he was part of the round table.
I could have known him. The Algonquin round table.
The Algonquin round table.
Sure.
And he was a humorist. And he wrote this great book. I mean, it's really a great book called The Enjoyment of Laughter. Ah. And the entire book is on the subject of what we're talking about. Why people laugh, what makes things funny, and everything. So that little one-liner I gave you about carbon dating, he would say all humor is based on disappointment, is some sort of disappointment, but it's done in fun. It's done in fun because, obviously disappointment, serious disappointment is not funny or fun at all. It's done in the spirit of fun. It's it has a sense of fun about it, but it is about disappointment. You know, I'm old. I can't get a date. The only kind of dating I could do is carbon dating. So, another element to it is the putting out something out there that people are waiting for, and then taking it away. They were waiting for maybe some sort of comment about dating service or a real dating service. But for me to say carbon dating spins it, you know, that they're waiting to grab what I'm putting out there, offering to them, and then I just take it away.
Then there's two elements there of the elements that all jokes they say have maybe five elements to them, and he just said two of them that were in that joke. And there's another expectation for it not to be a joke. I mean, just expecting it to be the truth or your opinion or something.
Exactly.
And the other one was a disappointment.
Yeah, it's like rooted in either a disappointment or a kind of displeasure or sadness or.
It's also self-effacing, I guess, too. Also,
it is. Right? Yes, that particular one. Yes.
Yeah. So there's.
I think it's the self-effacing nature of that particular joke that. Creates the element of play because I think a lot of humorists, a lot of stand-up people are often self-defacing and I think that creates the audience is sort of on your side when you do that, I think. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I agree. And there's one that's self-effacing, but mocking someone else could also be kind of self-effacing. One I put up on Facebook the other day, I had a cousin who was so dull
Mm-hmm.
I had a cousin who was so dull that when he committed a when he was accused of committing a crime, even the police wouldn't consider him a person of interest. So, and that takes in a phrase. Look at, listen to this. Hold on. Listen to this. He's the third generation. Say that again.
I don't get it.
He doesn't get it. Now, well, let's look at this. Why doesn't he get it? Do you? Now, here's why he doesn't get it.
Take it apart for him.
Okay.
But that's not funny.
No. See, he says that's not. He immediately makes a judgment. But that's not funny.
Well, here's what he thinks is funny. Butts and toilet humor.
Well, scat. Yes. Scat humor. I mean, that we know that's part of it, though.
You tell me that when you have to break down a joke, that it isn't funny.
Well, we're breaking it down to tell you why you should be laughing at this point.
Wait, so you're telling me my sense of humor is at fault here?
No, you're the wrong audience. If you don't get that joke, then you don't, do you understand what is a person of interest?
Someone who is a suspect in a crime.
So you know that.
Yeah.
So then if I switch and I say this person is so dull that even when he's accused of a crime, the police won't consider him a person of interest.
Does dull mean sharp?
Okay, how about I do this? He's okay, how about this? This is, and then now we're going to get into this. But
later on, I'm an ace.
So you know what it is, you just don't think it's funny. But if I said this, you're going to laugh. I know you're going to laugh. Know your audience. Oh, this is know your audience, okay? I have a cousin who's so dull. Look, he's laughing already. I know my audience. Don't clap. I have a cousin who's so dull that even when he was accused of committing a crime, he did poo-poo in his pants. Now, he's laughing, and it made no sense.
That's the funny part of it.
Okay, well, there is.
Well, you know what?
Go ahead.
That, what you just did, illustrates something else, another point that was brought up in the enjoyment of laughter. Foolishness can be funny. For instance, you take the Groucho Marx joke. I would horse whip you if I had a horse.
Right.
You know, it's just a foolish statement. It really has no meaning to it. You know, and some people like that kind of humor, and it's very often in its place. It is funny, and it's sprinkled here and there. I think it's great. But then you can get a line that's it still has the sense of foolishness in play, but it has a meaning to it too. Then you get into wit, you know, when he says, like Groucho Marx says, when I first came to this country, I hadn't a nickel in my pocket. Now I have a nickel in my pocket. Okay, so now you're getting actually a sort of a commentary about the country. And how things are, you know, things haven't progressed very well. I didn't have a nickel, but now I'm progressed. I have a nickel.
And what also is funny about that is the fact that you're kind of expecting him to say, with his expectation, I didn't have a nickel in my pocket. Today I'm a millionaire. See, but
exactly.
Not. And he's saying, no, yeah, I have a nickel in my pocket. Boy, I'm like, how great I did. You know, that's how wonderful. And so there's a number of ways to do that. But knowing your audience is obviously a good thing to do.
Poo-poo in his pants.
See, and he loves it because kids are into some, and that's why you have child humor. That's why you have guys who like the. Like, why do you have the clowns? Right? They just stand there and do stupid, absurd things.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's foolishness. the state of play itself can be funny.
Now, there's also high. The word is high, but I don't mean you've got to be high. I mean high, you know, well, you know what?
Sometimes it helps. Sometimes.
Well, misinterpretation is another one. I'm saying high and I'm misinterpreting.
At all my shows, I like to have the vents leak out fumes from pot just to make sure that everybody laughs. Otherwise, I don't.
Yeah.
Who was it who said it doesn't? Wasn't that a Woody Allen movie where he said it doesn't count if you're laughing and you're high? It doesn't count because you'll laugh at anything. As opposed to putting the joke together in a intellectual
like
way.
Like doing poo-poo in his pants.
Yeah.
Like doing poo-poo in his pants. Now, so, if I said pee-pee, you'd laugh too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, see? Ray, by the way, is trying to put together a 10 minutes? How many minutes?
I think it's like 5 minutes.
He's trying to put 5 minutes of his stand up together. And that's going to be a little difficult.
Let me guess. Farts, boobs.
I'll have a 12-hour set with 12 hours of fart noises on YouTube.
Okay. I don't want this to get out of control.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of times Ray says things, and I find some people do this. He says things that refer to stuff that people don't know. He knows, and he thinks people know it, so they're supposed to laugh. That you can't do that.
No.
See, if there were 10 people in the room, you didn't laugh at the person of interest joke, even though you didn't you don't understand or whatever. I don't know why you didn't get it, but the other 9 people would have went. I'm not saying, you know, they would have went, yeah, I get it. They would have got it. See, but you laughed at you didn't. So I know I wouldn't say that joke in front of you.
Now I get it.
Right, and you're still not laughing. You're waiting for more poo-poo. But, Jeremy, you're a nut. Now, here's the other thing. Even though we haven't completed talking about all the different ways, jokes that exist, there's also the fact that you could have the tightest, most incredible set in the world for 5 minutes, but from audience to audience, you get different reactions. So even when things are funny, there's a bunch of people, there'll be people who don't find it funny, just like Ray didn't find that funny, slip there. And so you can have the same, you have different audience and do the same thing. And they say, last night I killed him with this set, and tonight there's nothing.
Even
just from person to person, not even shows, but I've had times where I've told a single person a joke who laughed so hard they cried, and then I went and told another single person, and they just didn't understand it.
Did you talk to any married people?
Yeah.
Any married people or just single people? See what I did there? See what I did there?
I love those jokes.
Yeah, right. It is, you know, when you're talking to people, and I do that all the time, and they just, you know, people get angry. People get angry.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
they take it so personal, don't they?
Yes, they do. They've that's one of the things that Max Eastman was saying, is that we're born with the sense of humor because we were infants and we were just laughing at everything, our feet and you know whatever, and we're just laughing at stuff. And as we get older and become mature, we lose all that sense of play. And I think you're describing a kind of person who has totally lost the sense of play. You know, so serious, and you make the joke, and it's almost that they find it offensive because you've abused their sense of seriousness, you know?
And it's also like they take it personally, like making fun of them, because you're not listening to them. They want to be heard. That's the other thing, too. So that's an insult.
Yes. You know?
And I'd say, look, I understand. And I would follow that up. I say, don't be angry. I understand exactly what you mean. I just really don't care. Now, you say that, it's another joke on top of it, and you're just getting them more angry.
The other week when
angrier, yeah.
Lindsay was on the show, and you said, what grade are you in? Are you a sophomore? She says, I'm a junior, actually. And you said, I've never made it to junior actually status.
Okay, literal. He got another one there. Literal interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
Literal. Yeah. Literal interpretation. Yeah. Right? Yeah. You're laughing. You're laughing back there. Yeah, she's laughing. Literal transportation. Literal.
Transportation?
Give me a literal one. Who has a literal joke? Something that you say that actually means that, but...
If someone says like a metaphor, I can take it literally.
Wait a second. Did you just do a joke? If someone says something like that. A grammar joke. I thought, yeah.
I made a fun
grammar joke.
But you do have grammar jokes? Okay, yeah. give us a grammar joke or two. Here's Jeremy.
Knock, knock.
Oh, that's not a... That's a. Okay, now, do you expect the audience to go, who's there?
You and Tom can go, who's there.
Okay, you ready, Tom?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Two.
To who?
To whom?
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
I like that. Yeah.
You know how many times a day I say,
"Whom?"
It's may I go to the bathroom?
Not can I. May I take my can to the bathroom? Can I take my may to the
can
bathroom?
Can I go to the bathroom? No.
No.
May I go to the bathroom?
I like it when people say, "I'm going to go take a dump." Well, you're leaving the dump. You know, it'd be hard to take it with you.
Take it. Yeah.
Okay, now what are we dealing with here now? Less literal? I mean, literal. Looking at it literally. People used to get really PO'd at me when I do literal. One. She said actually. I'm a junior actually. So she adds actually to it. So it's like, is it one thing or not one thing? And those are so easy, like I just did with you, single and married. You said I told a single person, a single person. And I took that interpretation. You mean a single person is also a person who isn't married. That's a double. Mm. Wait, that's not interpret. Is that interpreted?
Solely to divorced people.
See, now if you said that, I would understand that.
Mm. So they have to be like surveyed before you can tell them the joke?
Hey, you know, how about surveying an audience before you tell them the joke?
Well, that in itself could be a really funny bit.
You could do a routine. What'd you do?
Yeah.
You're bleeding. Jeremy's sitting here bleeding.
I gave blood earlier.
Did you shoot up?
It must have popped.
Is that where you shot up? You see he's laughing.
I can't get through the show unless I...
Why? Shoot up. Because you gave blood before?
I gave blood this morning and it was fine. Now all of a sudden it's like...
So you have some left over, in other words. He has some left over. You know, what I just did is horrible, and I hate to do this. And I think it was... No, I know it was Stan Laurel. Said, Stan Laurel disliked comedians like Red Skelton because, and I know I'm saying names here, a lot of you people don't know. Oh. Write them down in your book. Go look at them later if you don't know this. Red Skelton, not skeleton. That would be the joke of Red Skelton. He hated because Red Skelton used to tell jokes and then laugh at his own jokes. And Stan Laurel hated that. He said, never laugh at your own jokes. Let them die if they're dying, but never. I wonder if that's a vaudeville, because I try to think of other people who laughed at their own jokes and then do it.
There's comedians today that do that.
I'm sorry.
No, sorry, Tom.
What? Tom? What?
Bill Maher laughs at his own jokes. But it doesn't seem to bother me. I mean, I find it funny.
It's how he laughs, though. I mean, Red Skelton.
Okay,
that's a good point. Or he holds or he does something like that, right? Anyway, and throws it out almost as a punctuation, as opposed to saying, "Isn't that funny?"
Dane Cook laughs a lot of his jokes.
Well, no one likes Dane Cook.
No one. That's true. Dane Cook is probably one of the most disliked humorists.
He laughs a lot of his own jokes.
He does. He laughs a lot. I don't like him.
It's funny you mentioned that because it isn't funny. You mentioned that.
See what he just said? It's funny you mentioned that. Well, it's not funny. Go ahead.
It apparently wasn't funny.
No, it wasn't. No,
I got a comment.
I feel that way about that comedian.
About Dane Cook?
Way. Yeah.
Yeah, what is it about that guy?
I don't know. I feel like he should stick to acting and like stop with the humor because it's not funny.
I didn't know he acted. Because what do you have to say?
It seems like that Dane Cook doesn't only laugh at his own jokes, but also performs a ballet as he's doing it, if you haven't noticed.
What do you mean? You mean how he you mean
yeah,
his body
like,
language?
He's dancing around up on stage telling a story versus just standing up like in the title of the comedy.
I guess that's a whole other thing. Your presence, your stance. You move. Jeremy here, I've seen Jeremy because I've actually introduced him in some of his sets. And you walk around in a way. Are you conscious of that? Or that doesn't matter, really, but I mean, is that all part of... Because how you present yourself is always going to be part of your character.
Yeah, I'm conscious of it to a point. I know... I like to walk around because I don't like to just stand in one spot, but sometimes I kind of get carried away and I walk too much or too fast.
I remember him walking back and forth and back and forth, and I told him later, I said, look, it's okay if you move, but it is distracting. You don't want to do something that's distracting.
Yeah.
It's hard enough to get people to laugh.
Yeah. Now, if you, you know, it depends on the setting. If you were on a big stage and you're going from side to side, in fact, it might be better if you're on a big stage to reach the people, you know, so they don't feel abandoned or something.
Did you ever see Chris Rock? In a big theater, He never stops moving.
Yeah.
He just keeps glides back and forth and back and forth. You find that now? Ray found that funny. Ray's just laughing. I guess, you know, when you're a certain age, is that what you do? You just, is that when you're just giggly kid? You know, I mean, I don't remember at that age. I don't remember being that giggly at that age.
What?
What? He goes, what? I'm sorry, Dad, are we doing something?
Robin Williams is like on cocaine when he's, because he's all over the place.
Well, not anymore. No.
Who was that? Who?
Robin Williams.
Oh, Robin Williams, yeah.
When I saw his comedy, I forget what it's called, but on one of his stand-up specials on DVD, he just, whew, all over the place.
I don't know when he stopped. I know the night, the first night I ever saw him, I was at the Comedy Store, the first night I ever saw him, he was definitely, I know for a fact, he was, you know, I mean, he took the air out of the entire place. I mean, it was you know, it was impossible to keep up with him. Now, Jonathan Winters, just improv is another one. Isn't that another form of comedy?
Because
Jonathan Winters died last week.
Yeah.
And we all know that now that's improv also takes the elements of writing, but it's not written. It's, you're just making it up or having a quick wit or going like that.
He was quick. Wow.
And
incredible.
But let's get back to writing a joke. We're chronicling humor and joke writing here from Tom and I. Sammy, I don't want to say Tom and I. May I say Tom and I? Tom and I, who have written countless jokes. We used to find forums, as I wrote on the blog. Of course, we wrote jokes and people bought them. Okay, mm-hmm. And we used to have little forums for them. I told you about that. I got a shot to show you those. I still have some of those original sheets around somewhere. Do you know that, Tom? I still have.
You mean like Topical Paradise?
Well, I might have a Topical Paradise, but I know I have Humorettes around somewhere. I have sheets, original
Humorettes.
Humorettes, which was the big seller.
One critique. Remember when somebody did not buy our package and said, "Ye of little humor." is what humorette is.
Yes, little humor, humorette, just a little thing. But anyway, giving jokes to people, selling jokes to people. I guess my biggest one would be Rodney Dangerfield, who I remember his name. I couldn't remember his name.
Did you sell a joke to Rodney Dangerfield?
Yes, he was he was an incredible guy, because when you had, you know, all you had to do was have his telephone number. You got into the circle of people. But Rodney was incredible about it, and he paid $25, which was, you know, that's like gigantic. To this day, Joan Rivers, Tommy still buys jokes for $5 each. You could send her a joke, she likes it and uses it, she'll send you a check for $5.
Really?
Yeah, still.
I should all my little tweets out there and brush them up and give them the Joan Rivers.
But if you ever see an old thing with Rodney Dangerfield about the, he went to the Chinese, he went to a Chinese orgy, went to a Chinese orgy, and in an hour I was horny again. That was
mine. Was that yours?
Yes, that was mine. That was me.
Yeah.
That was years and years ago. Good. But you see what I did, we see what that was Chinese, people talk, something people say all the time. And you don't contort it, you change it, but it still does mean the same, in a sense. Instead of hungry, replace hungry with horny, and which is something I do all the time anyway. There you go. You knew he was going to laugh.
Well, I could relate to that. No. Since carbon dating doesn't work for me.
Okay, relating. There's another one. What do you want to say, Ray? You want to say something?
Oh, yeah, I have a joke.
Oh, you have a joke?
Yeah.
Okay, is it clean? We can say anything we want, but, you know, you're 13. And,
are you all ready for this?
Yeah.
I need confirmation from Tom, too.
Oh, yes, sure. Okay. I'm ready.
Why are you standing up and walking away?
Ha-ha!
What'd he do? He walked away when
he
left the studio. This is the joke?
Oh. I'm fine with that.
Right.
There's a personal guy. Hey, how about when people say jokes and people think it's serious? When people think it's serious. Oh, wait, you came back. What was the joke?
That was the joke.
You have a joke and you left.
Yeah. Because
okay.
No one wants to hear it to begin with.
Because what?
No one wants to hear it to begin with.
Okay. I guess there you go. And you're laughing at your own joke.
How do you know? I don't know about that. Let us be the judge of that.
Yes. What did
if
I just say?
If you hear no laughter, then you were right.
Insults or jokes. How does a guy like...
I'm really good at
this. A guy... You're real... Oh, whoa, whoa, wait a second. Did you hear that one? A third generation, I said insults are a joke, and Ray said, I'm really good at that. Okay, now we're going to hear a Ray insult joke. Okay. Oh, you can't say it because you...
Well, it has to be relevant to the conversation.
Oh,
not necessarily.
So you don't necessarily have a joke that's just an insult.
No, it's most of my jokes are just on the spot. Relevant.
Oh, he's an improv guy. Okay. But you said you're trying to put together a 5-minute...
I know, and I did that while standing in front of a mirror in my bathroom.
And you,
did not write any of it down.
Oh, you didn't write any of it down. He's just riffing, as I said.
Looking in, that's a good way to come up with insult jokes. Ray just looking in the mirror.
See what he just did? See what he did there? Oh, but the people will get.
It would be a problem for me because I'm a narcissist. That I wouldn't be able to get any jokes.
But he does look after himself. That's one thing about him as a narcissist. He does look after himself. So an insult would be another one. Insult, but how many people, when you make a joke or you insult them, or when you think that you don't know if you're insulting them, but you're saying something. I mean, guys like who did I just mention? What's his name?
I said Don Rickles.
Yeah, Don Rickles, who's been
Rickles.
He's entirely based. Listen to this, third generation. He said who? Third generation. He doesn't know Don Rickles. Okay. You gotta write these down. How could you know Mr. Potato Head but not know Don Rickles?
Because I saw Toy Story.
Oh, that's right. He's the voice of Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah.
Wait, that's Don Rickles?
Yeah.
I still don't know who he is.
Okay. He doesn't know.
Well, he has the voice of Mr. Potato Head.
He has. He's made one of the voices. Because Mr. Potato Head doesn't have a voice. Because Mr. Potato Head can't talk.
Only if you put the mouth on.
The silence, the crickets.
No, that wasn't a joke. That was actually literal.
Oh, okay. That was literally, you know, we have a hard time figuring that. Insults. We got insults. We got, I don't know.
Insults, improv, expectations, relation, humor you can relate to. Yeah, recent, like maybe two that I can't think of right now.
I don't know the exact categories. I just know that they're technically, I think, academically, they're... What does Max Eastman say? Does he say anything in there about, like, there's only,
well, he
like...
he talks about there are five laws of humor.
There you go. Okay, there's the five. There's the five.
Five laws of humor.
What are the five
First
laws?
Law is that things can be funny only when we are in fun, all right? That's what I mean. So if you're talking about something that's disappointing or something, if you're serious, then it's just depressing. It's not funny. But if you're doing it in a sense of fun, then it can be funny. The second law is that when we are in fun, a shift of values takes place, and pleasant things are still pleasant, but disagreeable things, so long as they're not disagreeable enough to spoil the fun, tend to acquire a pleasant emotional flavor and provoke a laugh. The third law is the condition most natural to childhood is they will laugh at anything, children. And he's saying if you get that childish quality back, that is the law of humor or law. And the fourth law is that grown-up people retain in varying degrees this aptitude for being in fun. And they call this complicated thing or combination of things, they call it a joke. And then the fifth law is, there is no fifth law. I lied. There's only four.
I was just going to say, none of the laws are funny. That's great. You know, I remember someone saying that if you ever want to insult some, I'll tell you who said this too. It was, and I'll say a name. None of you people will know this, but I mentioned a lot of things he said over the years because they come to mind. Frank Apici said this. You know, everybody goes, "Oh yeah, right." Except Ray. <Who? laughs> Is he a friend of Don Rickles? See what I did there? That's a callback. Callback.
Those are important.
Callbacks are important when you're doing stand.
Callbacks are really important if you're doing a routine. You know.
But he said this. He said, "If you ever, you don't have to curse at anyone." You don't have to call them names or say anything disparaging about anyone if you really want to insult them. Tell them they don't have a sense of humor. Wow, everyone wants to think they have a sense of humor.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Try it. Yeah. You really want to piss someone off.
Okay, then. Good. I have a list of people.
Yeah, just say, you have no sense of humor. I don't. Then they'll defend themselves immediately. I don't.
Well, listen to this.
How would you defend that?
You would, well,
now, Frank,
yeah.
How would you characterize this situation? This, because it's not a joke, but it's definitely, it was humor involved. Today at our school, I was with our senior class. The rest of the school, the freshmen, sophomores, and juniors, were taking a state test today. But the seniors had to be entertained. So we had, a few years ago, about 5 or 6 years ago, I started a tradition at the school of getting a hypnotist to come for a couple of hours, and there's a comedy hypnotist show. And we were in the middle of that show when we got word that the campus was locked down. I laugh about it because, well, first, nobody got killed or it was, you know, but we were actually, that we had to tell the hypnotist, it was in the middle of his show, you know, whisper in his ear, by the way, we're in lockdown. So imagine if you're like,
how would that affect?
I was thinking,
how would that affect him anyway? Why does that affect him? He's just doing the show. Why would you even tell him? It'd be funny if you didn't tell him. Why did you even tell him?
Well, we had to because one of the other teachers, an administrative type teacher. This is one of the guys who were on my list who I'm going to insult with no sense of humor. But he found it necessary to break the whole show for a few seconds to say, because rumors were starting to happen. Parents were starting to text their kids that they heard there was a bomb on campus and all that stuff was not true. So that teacher wanted to set their minds at ease, you know. I thought they should have just hypnotized everybody.
Well, you know, in a sense, everybody was being hypnotized by a lie, by a rumor there.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you bring that up, Tom, because today myself and the mysterious guest in the studio go to Penn State, and there was a bomb threat on our campus today, too. They had to evacuate the whole building for about an hour.
So what happens? People just call in? How do these things start?
They said they found a note that said there was a bomb somewhere in the building set to go off at 1 p.m.
Wow. It was probably somebody trying to get out of an exam.
Yeah.
I think we used to do that.
Whatever happened to calling grocery stores and asking them if they had Prince Albert? They can't.
Prince
they
Albert in a can.
As you soon as
Prince
I knew,
Albert. Now, I would say, do you have Prince Albert in a may? Not in a can. In a may. Okay, that was a little sideways. That was a sideways way of saying, may I, can I? Okay, fine.
Well, it's also like when you prank call your friend if ask if their refrigerator is running.
You call me. There's another one. Is your refrigerator? Now, what is that? What is that then? What kind of joke is that? A refrigerator is running. Oh, brings about a cartoon.
It's a pun, isn't it?
Puns. We haven't done puns. Is that a pun?
Yeah. Or I used a lot of puns. Yeah.
What is a...
This could be considered a pun.
I want to know. I was talking about this the other day. I put something. Nobody laughed at this on Twitter, and I realized that I had no audience for this joke, but it's still a joke. But it showed my age. I wrote in 140 characters, and I know Ray's going to go, well, I don't get it. And maybe you won't even get it, Jeremy. Tom will get it. Said, my Brazilian girlfriend was arrested for dancing in the streets. So the police read her Carmen Miranda rights.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, you get right? A Brazilian girlfriend. You don't know. See, Tom. And he goes, I know. Did you? And I said it to someone who was like 45 years old this afternoon. It did not know.
And they didn't get, yeah.
Yeah.
That is, I don't want to say a problem, but, you know, jokes work, and then all of a sudden, if it's based on a topical thing, or a cultural thing that a certain age group would know but not others, then it'll fall flat. That's what, you know, you have to know your audience.
That is a know your audience thing, too. Yes, absolutely. I don't, and to tell you the truth, I don't know why is it named after Miranda anyway. Who is this Miranda? Who was this Miranda? Brings that up. I don't know. I don't want, right? Nobody knows that anyway. But if you say, I mean, somebody might say, oh, is that the name of the person? Who, I didn't know, and they'd say, I didn't know you had a Brazilian girlfriend. And then they start thinking, you're like, oh gosh, you know, if you have to explain the joke or tell her, they don't know it's a joke, it's not a joke anymore.
Yes.
Back to the puns. I believe this could be considered a pun, but today with the bomb threat, after it was clarified that there was no bomb and that everybody was safe, they happened to be doing campus tours, which they do often on college campuses. So they had this big group of possible Penn State students touring the campus, and I said, man, Penn State's really booming.
Oh! Okay. You know, I don't get that.
I like that.
I don't get that one. What do you mean? Because of the bomb?
Yeah.
Booming bomb. Oh.
Booming. Oh. Could mean.
Even I got that one quicker.
Yeah, you even got that one, too.
That's an alliteration joke.
Oh, wait. And that's also an alliteration joke. That's taking, no, that's a sec, you know, words have meanings, we use words in different meanings.
Yeah.
We don't really kill an audience, do we? When they say, I killed them.
Well, yeah.
And when we
killed them, we knocked them dead.
And what happens when you don't do any, you don't do well, you bomb.
You bomb.
So yeah. We do use those words in different things.
Break a leg?
Well, break a leg comes from, does break a leg come from the guy who shot Lincoln?
Oh, you know what?
They tell actors to go break a leg at this because he was an actor.
Didn't he jump off the stage after he did it and broke a leg?
Yes,
or something?
Yes, he did.
I actually did do that to an audience member and I got sued.
Oh,
see, yeah, I don't know where I went nowhere.
We totally
it just went nowhere. Yeah, I know. It's like that. See, we listen, Ray. It is the thing though, and I hate to say that. You know, you don't want to. You don't want to be. You got to be tough. I mean, you got to be tough on people who are going to be humorous and comedians. It's not like we want to say you're not funny, but you got to be tough while you're learning because this is one of the most horrible things in the world. You don't know. You haven't gotten up in front of an audience and with any kind of confidence and think something is funny and just they're looking at you as if it's like we're going to kill you. We're literally going to kill you.
It's one of the worst feelings.
We just
the exact opposite. Of that quote you said from Judd Apatow, how when you come up with a joke, it's the best moment. When you bomb a joke, that's the worst moment.
It is horrible.
It's pretty horrible.
You think I've done that before?
What do you mean you haven't done any stand? You haven't?
Well, I haven't done stand up
every day when he tells me a joke.
Well, you laugh. You laugh. Well,
he's laughing at the fact that you think it's funny that you're trying to be funny. Here's another one. I'm laughing at a guy trying to be funny. They're not laughing with you. They're laughing at you.
At you.
Okay.
Hey, Frank, do you remember when we bombed?
Many times.
At the stand-up. That was my first stand-up experience. And you know what? So far, it's my last. I haven't gotten the nerve to do 5 minutes here.
When did we bomb, you and I?
We hosted, because we were the famous duo from Dead Air, and this all-girls high school knew about us because they used to listen to Dead Air.
Right, hey now. Right, hey now.
and we, you know, we hosted a dance or something, but, you know, we're doing comedy, but boy.
Horrible. We did not know our audience. Nobody wanted
to. All-girl high school with you two?
That's like dangerous right there. That was dangerous. Hey now. Yes. I've done a lot of other stuff, but let me tell you something that I found that was fascinating because I've actually been paid to talk, well, like they do with stand-up people and stuff like that. Okay, here's what I found out. I still get hired now and then. I've worked for Head Start, don't you? You know Head Start. That's a big program.
Yeah,
education.
They paid me
to speak to teachers. And a couple of other organizations have paid me, but here's the deal. The deal is I never say I'm a comedian. I always say I'm coming, I'm going to speak on a subject. And I come in as a speaker because here's the deal. If you tell somebody you're a comedian, you are immediately under scrutiny. Go ahead, make me laugh. They're like, go ahead, make me. They want jokes. Yeah. They tell them. But I fooled them psychologically. Came out, talked about something, and inside of that discussion made jokes about it and stuff like that. And I had them, and they were rolling in the aisles. They loved it. See?
Well, that's interesting. Interesting psychological thing there. Because, you know, it could work. If you go to see a comedian, of course, you know, you're going to have an entertainment this Friday. I'm going to go see comedians here, the many places here I can go see comedians. But I'm already going with the expectation that it's in fun. You know, that element that Max Eastman's talking about, that, you know, well, you know it's going to be in fun, so whatever they're talking about is going to have that quality about it. But, yeah, I also see the other side of that. Which
is reverse the polarity. Yeah. They're expecting. This isn't their whole thing is expecting. Someone's here to talk to you about, I think it was stress in the workplace. That was, in fact, when they called me up, they didn't even know I was going to fun. They said, we saw your ad and that you speak. Well, I said, well, what would you like me to speak about? I said, because I'm proficient in many areas. Yeah, I'm lying. You know, and they said stress in the workplace. I said, well, that's just perfect. Why, certainly, no problem whatsoever. And people will always, most people just take you on your word for a lot of things, right? So when I go there and I do it, and then I suddenly just turn into this guy who's, you know, flipping around things and talking to people and making jokes about it, and I could go off the subject and just run, and they enjoy it because they're expecting the serious thing. In fact, they're probably saying to themselves the opposite of when they go to a comedy place. They know they're going to hear a comic. They're going to go, well, he's going to make me laugh now. I'm going to be laugh. That's a lot of pressure. But if suddenly they go, oh, geez, he's going to go see somebody just talk dry, and then he makes you laugh, you're in like Flint.
Wow.
See?
That's great. Did you, and you wrote material for this?
I wrote a little bit of material.
Did you just wing it?
Yeah, a little bit I wrote. I just got a, right, and then I winged it. What I do is I spend a half hour or so before I go on talking to people, and I gather up names of people because personal humor is great. So you could point out people, and you learn stuff about that particular group, and then you get up there and you just make total fun of everything, and they laugh. They love it. They feel like you really did your homework, and I never do my homework.
Yes, I know.
You know.
I know.
I know. He goes, I know.
I know. You never did your homework. But I'm the same way. I never did my homework.
Because you were always very good, and you are still very good at picking up on something right away. That's not necessarily improv, but it's just being quick. And if you're quick, you can get out of, you know, you can come up with stuff. You can't rely on that. That's what's good when you have a partner. We have a partner, and you have somebody to always, you know, sound off and bounce off of. By everyone else, look at this. It's like a quarter after 10. We're here. We're not breaking at the top of the hour because we've got too much to talk about and too much fun. Tom Savino, of course, is me. It's another Savino Cotolo Chronicles. This is really turning out great, Tom. I hope we can do this once a month.
Yes.
In one respect or another. It's great. Jeremy Long is with us. He's a large fellow. And I know you are. You're a large fellow. And, you know, Tom, Jeremy needs to talk to you on off camera, too, one of these days, because he's doing a documentary on me, of all people, in a documentary class. That I'm his project, and he wants to talk to you because you've been close to me in terms of a lot of stuff we've done. And so that's another story. So we'll get you there on Skype or something and videotape you. But Jeremy Long, of course, is still he's studying get you on tape. He's studying all sorts of stuff, writing and he does stand up. Why don't you give us like 5 minutes? You just get up in front of people. Give us the 5 minutes of.
I had this joke prepared for the topic we started.
Oh yeah.
Way back. How like what? 10, 20?
Yeah.
Tell
the joke. We were each going to tell a joke and say, go ahead.
Okay, so this is continuing off of the expectational humor that we were discussing earlier. After I graduated, I had saved up all my graduation money so that I could go out and buy myself a motorcycle, because I've always wanted a motorcycle. But my mother said no, I could not get a motorcycle, because, you see, she had a brother who had died in a horrible motorcycle accident, so I could just have his motorcycle.
Now, I've heard you do that one. Yeah, I'll write at them somewhere. See, now what is that? Yeah. Oh, we expect something sane because you set up something very sane, and it turns out it's wacky. Is that what is that? That's not is that disappointment? Is that just stupidity? I ask you.
Well, I don't know about disappointment, but there is that element of. I mean, you know, the fact that there's a dead brother involved. You know,
and then the mother. Well, you know what it is? No, it is expectation, right? You expect the mother to say, you're not going to get by on motorcycle because he died. Mm-hmm. Just take his motorcycle. Right. So, yeah, exactly. So
that's perhaps my favorite kind of joke now that I think about it.
Now, you know, he brings up a good point because that's like you're really in the Anthony Jeselnik world of sick. Humor, and this is a very, very popular thing now.
Yeah, now, definitely. Yeah, there's him.
This guy just get a show on the Comedy Central?
Yeah. Jeselnik Offensive is what it's called.
Yeah. I
interrupted you.
It's okay. We're all doing that. The first time I saw him, I knew this guy's brilliant. This kid is brilliant. I knew he's got guts. I mean, guys like Lenny Bruce literally died so that these guys could get up and do this kind of humor, Well, literally died.
Wouldn't you consider Amy Schumer one of those two?
I don't know. Is Amy Schumer... no, she doesn't do sick humor.
Yeah, she does.
Humor is pretty slut-based humor.
And then it is sick. Not to the extent of Jeremy's joke.
Nothing. I don't mean that... She's a slut. I don't mean that in a disparaging way.
You think what you said? I don't mean that in a bad. Hey, wait a second. One of my favorite guys is Dom Irrera. Dom Irrera is one of my favorite stand-ups, and he says that. He talks about people in Brooklyn, and he says a guy comes up. To this other guy, he's talking about kids. And Tom, you'll know this too, because this is like so Brooklyn. He goes, hey, he said, what's with it? What's with your slut sister, that stinking, no good bitching? And I don't mean that in a bad way. it's so great.
Have you ever seen his show, Dom Irrera?
A sitcom?
No, he used to have a show. It was on some completely random television station where he was like the comedy judge, and he'd have two other comedians come on, and he'd give them like a...
Oh, yes!
Yeah.
He'd give that's
them like
right.
a plot line, and they'd have to...
Yeah, but it's nothing like his stand-ups. If you ever get... You could see him. He's on YouTube all over the place, too. And he's done such... I mean, I have just like stopped breathing. His stand-ups are great.
What's his name?
Dom Irrera. Irera. Dom. D-O-M. Irrera.
What about Louis C.K.?
Well, Louis C.K. He's very popular now and everything, but Dom is great. And Dom is like here's the other thing about Dom that I love, and Tom would love this too, Dom. You got to see him, Tom, because, you know, he does a lot of ethnic humor now. Italian ethnic humor. So he talks about his mother and the food and all the stuff that you identify with. And when you can do stuff like that, and it's also funny to people who aren't of that, like Robert Klein is a genius at that with Jewish. Those things.
You know who else? Another person who does like that kind of humor. It's funny to me at least, and he's not always funny, but Ray Romano does a lot of Italian humor.
You know, I never went for Ray Romano. Something about Ray Romano's everything about his delivery. I know he does good jokes and stuff.
Well, doesn't always make me laugh, but he does one about his Italian mother, like what you were saying, where he says when he would bring friends over for dinner, his mother would cook, and she'd cook way too much, and he said that if you wanted seconds, you had to say you only wanted a little bit, and then she'd bring you a full plate of seconds. And if you only wanted a little bit, you say, "Oh no, no, thank you, Miss Romano. I don't want any more."
And that's good, and it's chuckly, but it ain't nowhere near Don Myrera's. It does bring up another joke.
Good guy ethnic humor is Russell Peters.
I've never seen Russell Peters, but you know that reminded me of my joke. I wrote a sitcom. I wrote a sitcom about a Chinese family. The Chinese family and the mother and there's this one special kid in the family. It's called Everybody Loves Ramen. But anyway, it never went over.
Everybody Loves Ramen.
It never went over. I was, Tom, I was telling someone the other day about how the difference between about taking abstract. I want to talk abstract for a second because I want to talk about something. Tom and we did some stuff when Tom was on the first week. The first time he was on after all that time, a couple of months ago, whatever it was, we played a little routine that we always did, a production routine we did on our radio show called the Wasteland Playhouse. Okay, remember that? Okay, and one of the things we did, we would just take a TV show and make it different, but it was the same. You know, it's like a parody. Like, you know, now, Jeremy, you're a big fan of Al Yankovic, right?
Weird Al Yankovic.
Right, Weird Al. And Weird Al just does that with songs, what we did with these shows. So, but the one that always just makes me laugh to no end, and I wish I had a copy of it somewhere. I do, on tape somewhere, but anyway. It's there was a show called Leave It to Beaver. Okay, so we just took these and we'd rewrite, and it's like, the bad thing about this, and this is another thing where it's like, if you know the show, it's super funny. If you don't know the show, it's just funny. I mean, it's just funny. Okay, so instead of Leave It to Beaver, we had Give It to Chipmunk. Okay, and the kid's name was Chipmunk, and the guys. Now, the thing about Leave It to Beaver in the 50s, it had that whole family, that perfect family thing, okay, like that. For some reason or another, and we weren't high when we wrote this, we made Chipmunk's father, what do you live? Do you know Leave It to Beaver? Have you ever seen Leave It to Beaver? You've seen it on...
No, I just said that it was a disclaimer that you said you weren't high when you did
it. Right, it's a disclaimer, yeah. Because it still makes me laugh. I don't have to get high to laugh about this, okay? Okay, his father, Chipmunk's father, was Dracula. And it made no sense whatsoever. He just shows up. And he goes, "Hello, kids," you know. And it's, of course, you know, where's Dad all day? And see him, and then he comes out at night. Dad comes out at night. That kind of like, now what is this abstract or taking something completely out of context? I guess that would be it. Is that out of context? Because we weren't making fun, but making his father Dracula meant nothing about parodying the show itself. Because the guy, there's no reason.
Yeah, right? That's
right.
It has an edge of foolishness about it.
Yes,
and
surprise. And there's the other thing with humor.
Yeah,
surprise.
Yeah. Surprise.
Now, everyone who knew the show would expect this, you know, us to take that character and amplify the regular guy and make him into something, but not to completely make him, you know, the famous vampire. It makes no sense whatsoever. Okay.
Well, actually, I guess it was kind of a kind of hyperbole to use. I'm using all my literary terms.
I like that hyperbole.
Because, you know, the thing was, it was such a straight-laced father on the actual show. You know, straight-laced, moral, and this and that. You know, the perfect father. So we're going to make him dark, but we really made him dark.
Because he actually talked like that. It was ridiculous. What were you laughing at? Did you just look at something funny?
Well, since we were talking about jokes, I wanted to bring up the fact that now, in this generation, there's a whole new type of joke that didn't used to exist called anti-jokes.
Oh, yeah.
Anti-jokes.
Ray
jumped up.
I got
one. He's just his third generation anti. Give me an anti. He just jumped up. Go ahead.
Okay. Why did the little girl drop her ice cream?
Why?
She was hit by a fire truck.
Listen to them laugh. All the generation, listen.
Wait, here's one.
Now, wait a second. This is actually literal. This is a literal joke. We're yes, the anti-joke. It's literal. You're expecting a joke, and you hear something that would really stop a girl from eating the ice cream.
What's worse?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Here's another one.
What's worse than finding a worm in your apple?
What?
The Holocaust.
Hey, well, that, you know what? That's kind of in line with our give it to Chipmunk, because that's definitely hyperbole.
Yes, that is hyperbole. Yes, yeah. Way ahead of what's worse? What?
There's one in there.
What? Is a terrible one? That wasn't terrible, right? That wasn't terrible.
No, this one's not even terrible. It's just funny. It says...
What do you mean, it? This is unbelievable. They're here. Tom, they're here. We got multimedia going on. We got this thing where terrorists in caves can connect to this show right now in Afghanistan, okay? The Taliban can listen. And all this is going on. And listen, and they're still here with their phones. And they're still doing their phones. Okay, go ahead. Here goes. So he just found this on his phone. Go ahead, boy.
A dyslexic man walks into a bra.
Okay, now that's see?
That's that a pun? No, it's not a pun.
We are expecting, it's the cliche, the guy walks into a bar, you know, so we're expecting that, and then to hear that switch, that's good. I like that.
You got one?
I have one, too.
Mysterious.
Really make it funny? You have an ending to that.
Mysterious funny has one. Here goes.
So you know what's funny? Something that makes you laugh.
That's an anti-joke right there. Do you know what's funny? Something that makes you laugh. How about, so it's like this one. Here's a rabbi, a mule, an Indian chief, and a squirrel walk into a bar. And the bartender says, "What is this, some kind of joke?" Yeah. And because that's a joke about the jokes, right?
Yeah.
You remember Tom Martin's joke, right?
Which
has anybody heard from Tom Martin?
He's on Facebook. Yeah, I'll get him. Go ahead,
but
Tom Martin.
The gorilla walks into the bar. Joke. Remember that one?
Tell him.
Okay. Gorilla walks into the bar and orders a banana daiquiri. And the bartender goes and talks to the regulars and said, this is good. Damn, there's a gorilla. There's a gorilla here. So anyway, makes the banana daiquiri and says, $12. And the bartender goes back to the regulars and said, what is this gorilla? Said, well, I'm going to ask him. I'm going to talk to him. So the bartender goes back to the gorilla and says, so what brings your kind in here? And he says, I just wanted a drink. And the gorilla says, and I'm really totally
you did.
Screwed.
Yeah, I know.
Bartender says,
we don't
bartender
see.
Bartender says, are you going to be back here? Says, and the gorilla says, at $12 a daiquiri, I don't think I'll be back here.
No, I think what he said.
That was one of the worst jokes I ever told.
No. I think what the bartender said is, we don't serve many
we
gorillas.
We don't serve your kind.
Your kind here. And he says, at $12 a drink. It's no wonder or whatever.
I'm not expecting. Yes, that's it. Thank you very much.
You're quite okay,
for
right?
Correcting that. You were talking about that Italian ethnic guy.
Dom Irrera. Dom Irrera.
Irrera. Are you familiar with Sebastian Maniscalco?
No, but Maniscalco was the name of my shop. The shop teacher I had at junior high school who threw hammers at people.
Oh yeah, that's pretty funny.
Mr. Maniscalco.
As long as he missed. If he missed.
He did. He almost. I saw him almost kill a kid by inches. But what? Okay, wait a second. I got to make sure this doesn't get out of hand. You guys are laughing at something else over here.
I'm sorry,
Ray is going, I want to say something, and Tom is, what? Okay. Ray?
This is an actual literal joke that I tweeted a while ago. A man walks into a bar. He now has severe head trauma.
A man walks into a bar. Literal. A man walks into a bar. So that's that's actually okay. But I mean, that's not this. That's,
I was expecting at least a chuckle out of that.
Well, I did. I know. I understood,
I might as
well
man. Just kill my career.
They were waiting. It was like they were waiting for the part where he poops. Ooh. Go ahead. Call back. See, a callback right there.
We were watching. What? We were reading more anti jokes, and it says, "Why was 6 afraid of 7?
Oh, because he ate 9.
Seven, eight, nine.
No.
It wasn't. Numbers are not sentient and thus incapable of feeling.
All right. I love, yes, those kind of jokes. Right. Right. Because, right. So they took the joke because 7, 8, 9, and just, no, numbers are not capable of feeling. So it's.
No, is this anti joke thing? So you can actually, like, go online and look at anti jokes?
I got that, one right now.
That was, Ray has right. one.
An Irishman walks out of a bar.
That's it.
Wow, that's it. Wow.
Here's another
one. Wow, I wonder where that began. Look, Jeremy cannot breathe here. You got one too? Okay, here's another one. Oh, now we're on anti. We didn't even. I don't even think we covered real jokes. And now we're on anti jokes.
Hold on. Okay, but this is a real. This only the people who, of modern times. So, you know that song, Call Me Maybe? Whatever?
Mm-hmm.
You know that one?
Yes.
Tom
yes. does. So it goes, hey, I just met you. This is crazy. Here's my number. Call me maybe. So yeah. this anti-joke says, hey, I just met you, and this is crazy. I have Alzheimer's. Hey, I just met you.
Here's one.
All right. Well, Alzheimer's makes, you know, my original joke, I mean, years ago I wrote this joke. I said, I said, I'm not worried about Alzheimer's, and I come from Brooklyn, I'm going to get Weisenheimer's, or I already have Weisenheimer's. That was a joke. Now everybody uses it, and it's not an anti-joke.
How about this?
Some people don't know what a Weisenheimer might, okay,
this
go
is
ahead.
A beautiful poem.
Here's now Ray. You know, I told Ray one thing, and I really wanted him to understand this, because when I rolled into Hollywood and I started telling jokes, someone said something to me I'll never forget, and I told this to Ray. He said this. He said, listen, if you want to be a comedian or you want to tell a joke, you have to understand one thing and one thing alone. It's all in the timing. If you don't get that joke, you'll never be a comedian. So I tell Ray that because it's like timing is so important. Go ahead, Ray. Don't just read it.
Yeah.
All right.
Give us it. Give us your timing.
Roses are red. Violets are blue. I have a gun. Get in the van.
So there you go. All right. This is the anti-joke. Oh, no. You've just found all. Now, obviously, when you hear other jokes, what you do is you get. Okay.
One more
do you
for
just
the road.
Okay. One more for the road.
Okay. Right. How do you confuse a blonde?
How?
Paint yourself green and throw forks at her.
So you see, this there's no end to this. How you do this? But here's the deal. The deal is, of course, when you hear jokes and you like them, then you learn to write them. You're actually imitating the jokes you heard. You're just changing things around because there are no real new jokes.
Yeah, you know, a good example of that. This actually happened in a class I was in teaching, and a girl just jumped up in fear, and she went over to the door and she stomped on an insect. I said, what are you doing? She said, killed a spider with my shoe. And it just, and all, you know, all these old jokes come back, you know, the Groucho Marx thing came back. And I said,
shot.
What was he doing with your shoe?
Yeah, I shot it. Right? That's literal. That's a literal one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I shot, it's also grammar. Right,
yeah.
I shot an elephant in my pajamas. How I got my pajamas, I'll never know. I shot in my, and I do that. I do, and people really get pissed when I do that to them. When they speak and they're just saying something, and they put now, what is that? You're an English teacher. Are they putting the adverb before the adjective? Are they dropping the participle? What is that called when you put it when you place something in the wrong or in a? It's in the wrong place.
Well, it's an ambiguity.
It's an ambiguity.
It's an ambiguity, but it is a it's a kind of a pun. It is a misinterpretation.
And it's not correct, though.
But it's plausible, you know.
Well, it's got a double meaning too. It's got a double meaning. But is the meaning that they give you that is not the literal meaning correct grammatically? I don't think so.
I killed a spider with my shoe.
It's the way we talk, but it's not that's necessarily correct. I killed a spider with my shoe means the spider. I mean, in English, means the spider had the shoe. That's
right.
What it means.
If you you're switching the meaning to mean you're switching it to mean that the spider had this girl's shoe.
I know, but shouldn't you say, if you were to say that so that it could never be a joke, grammatically you would say, I took my shoe and I killed a spider with it. Isn't that correct?
That would be the way to say it so that no one can ever make jokes about it.
Yeah, but that's also right. Okay, these people are cracking up here again. The younger generation, have another one here or what? Good. Who's going to say it? Do you want to say it, Mystery Guest? Mystery Guest, do you want to say this one?
Do you want to say that one?
Sure. Say that one. Here comes Mystery audience member going to tell a joke here now. For generation. How old are you again?
21.
Okay, so you're in your generation. That's your okay.
We're 5 here. Days apart.
It's what?
We're 5 days apart.
You're only 1 foot apart, as far as I could see.
Our birthdays. Right.
Really? Yeah. And why would you? Oh, okay, because he's 21. You're saying he's 21. You thought that piece of information was important for me to know that their birthday is. If you're 21, you're 21. What's the difference
of your
5 days? Our actual birthdays are 5 days apart, though. So, like, I'll turn 21. 5 days later, he turned 21.
Okay, but you're still 21, regardless of the facts of why you're 21 or who you're 21. No. You see, this is what I don't know. How people talk is amazing. Okay, go ahead. Tell the joke.
Okay. So how many Mexicans does it take to build a... Oh, wow, they're done.
Did you hear that, Tom? How many
Mexicans... How many Mexicans
does it take to make... Oh, wait, they're done. Now, the light bulb, if you, I got Freud, I used Freud on the blog. You give me a light bulb joke, because light bulb jokes are right, they're just all sorts of versions of them. And yeah. Polish jokes are actually, Polish jokes are actually blonde jokes. They're the same thing.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So we could take them and make them into anyone you want to embarrass for their nationality, you could just change, or for a way they look. And there's a Mexican joke right there, which could you say? You could say
There goes the Los Angeles audience, by the way. So just drop.
You know what? That's that. Wait a second. That is not a that is not even a disparaging joke.
No,
because
it's actually a kind of compliment.
Sure, because Jews couldn't make it that quickly.
Yeah.
Whatever it might be.
You
know how they talk about Jewish can't be there's no Jewish baseball players. There's no Jewish sports. They're not good at sports. There's all these things that are actually there's all these things that are actually true that we make into what is that called? The true things, cliches that we make about, but they're based on truths? Right?
Yeah.
Greasy Italian. I mean, that all comes from something. There's a cultural thing involved that with jokes, too. So if you want to make a joke about a gangster, you're going to make him Italian. Right?
Yeah. So make him that guy, stereotype. The guy I mentioned a few minutes ago, Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yeah.
He does a little joke about going to the emergency room. And, they this is a disparaging thing, self-disparaging thing, whereas he's, going to the emergency room and they give him a doctor, and the doctor is, here's Dr. Romano, and he says, Dr. Romano? Don't you have a Schwartz back there?
He wants a Jewish, right, because doctors are Jewish.
Don't you have a Schwartz back there?
I
don't want a Romano. I don't want, maybe on my pasta I want a Romano, but I don't know.
See what he did there too? Maybe on my pasta I want Romano because that's cheese. It just goes on and on and on how we think. You know what? The one danger, and I have this has happened even as I get older, it gets worse too. It really gets worse. And yet it's kind of like meditating for me. Instead of meditating, I let my mind do this. It's been so long. There's so many things that have gone through my head based on humor and comedy and stuff. That I can't even think. It's very difficult for me to think seriously anymore. I let go. All the stuff that pops up, I just let it go. It all happens. And when you're with people who take, it's amazing how people take things so incredibly serious. And here's the danger of comedy and really getting a grasp on all this stuff is basically it's the way you think. And because you've thought for so long, because you're old or whatever, mm-hmm. it's suddenly you can't stop it from happening.
I know, yeah.
And then you're with people who don't think that way, who don't have that mechanism moving. And if they do, they don't allow it, or they're trying to be. And you could really you could wind up to be a very lonely person.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And you could be ostracized. That's not a joke. Although you can make a joke about ostracized. But then, most of my faculty member, most of my faculties.
See, there he goes, my faculties. Well, he's lost his faculties. He was a good teacher, but then he lost his faculties. Right? Whatever. Double meaning, that is.
They're just, I mean, they have a sense of humor. They laugh at things, but it's not like me. I mean, it's not like constant joking around. If a girl killed a spider in their room, they probably wouldn't think of that, Groucho Marx thing or something. So it's, and we kind of, it's not, sometimes it's not very accepted by others. You
know? But I don't look for it. I mean, I don't look for it. I just hear it. I just see it and hear it. I'm kind of like Rain Man with jokes. I mean, it's like, I just see it and hear it. And someone says something and I immediately see it and hear it. Or I see a situation and it suddenly warps and it contorts and it's something else. Very difficult to look at something or to feel something extremely serious. Plus the fact that most people who are so incredibly serious, I'm not going to say they don't have a sense of humor. I just don't get it. I don't really get it. And I remember in Zen training where the guru said, the guy, the teacher, whoever you want to call him, had said, don't trust anybody who doesn't have a sense of humor, that it is something extremely spiritual. Now, I'm not getting serious about this. You can make all the fun you want about it, But I mean, there are many times where there's a recoil for things I've said because people don't say things right away. And they'll say it next week or they'll see you again and go, that thing you said. And I'm thinking to myself, how on earth could you remember this thing I said? I mean, why would it be so important that you would hang on to this thing I said and think it was bad? I mean, to me, it's amazing that this goes on, that these things just aren't water off a duck's back. And what is water off a duck's back? But
it's wet.
Yes, thank you. What were you going to say? You're laughing over here like you found another one. Give us another joke of yours. Give us another original joke or two. You did a couple of them. Do the ones that, what about your grandma? You got grandma jokes?
Yeah.
You don't like those anymore? Is that part of your setting?
They're fine. I was just saying my grandma, she needs hearing aids, so we bought her two hearing aids, one for each ear, but she keeps putting them in the same ear. So she's got bat-like hearing over here, but she's deaf over here. So, supersonic. Did someone say nursing home?
See, we're not hearing the... Yeah, I know. Well.
She also... has reading glasses on top of that. She's a very stereotypical grandma. And when she's not using her reading glasses, she puts them up on her head. But then she forgets they're up there, so she has like 20 pairs lined up on top of her head. And she lives in Florida, so when she goes outside, a little fire starts in her head.
No, that's good. She lives in Florida.
I like that one.
Yeah, those are... See?
What's the... This... There's a part of the comedy... community that is still a big part of the comedy community that they just don't think women are funny. What's your take on it? I think my very favorite she's my favorite, and I can't think of her freaking name right now. A black woman,
Wanda.
Wanda Sykes.
She's
I mean, her HBO thing is like a classic.
She's not only good, she's been good in sitcoms, so she's really good, yeah. Yeah. But I don't dislike, I think they have their own personalities too. I like Ellen DeGeneres' set, I'm sorry. I think she does a very good, clean, great set.
She has a good one where she's talking about people writing notes, and the note goes onto the back of the paper, so people will write the word over at the bottom of the paper. Like, I don't know, to flip over to the back of the paper.
Yeah.
What happened?
She's done.
We'll draw an arrow write the word over and draw an arrow pointing. She's like, I'll go into the other room. Has anyone seen the other side of my paper?
Right. Yeah, she's, I think, yeah, I like her stand-up better than I like liked anything she'd done on TV. And you know what else is great about the fact that she does not get up and do, even when she came out of the closet, she doesn't come out and do lesbian humor. That's like, okay. Yeah. It's like, you know, because it's not, it doesn't have to be a part of your, you know, your joke thing, your yeah. lifestyle there. It's all fake anyway. It's like Louis C.K. every once in a while, he'll say something. So I'm with this guy the other day, and he goes, of course, you know, I'm not really with this guy. The other day, I'm like, this is another one of those stories. He like brings it to the attention. You know, you make up those stories. But who was Rita? What was her name? Rita? Oh, she was great. She did Rita something. She's always dressed very pretty. She's always dressed very well.
Kind of refined.
Yeah, and she talked like, and she did a great.
Is she the one that like
Rita? She wrote a book too.
She almost finished her sentence. It seems like she finished her sentence, but then she added on this tag thing that totally changed the meaning of it.
Yes, she did that too. Rita something, and you
know
what?
Who you mean?
On an old, well, of course, it's going to be an old rerun. I mean, that could be a new rerun. On a rerun of the Larry Sanders Show last night, in the middle of the night, I saw, remember Brett Butler?
Yes, yes. Yes, I do.
Good stand-up. Yo, you don't remember Brett?
That's one I don't know.
Wow, that's not even a long time ago.
I knew almost everyone you mentioned.
She had a sitcom, too, I think. Didn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah.
She did.
Okay.
You know who I don't like? And I think a lot of people don't like her, so I feel bad for saying it. But Kathy Griffin, I don't like her.
Kathy Griffin has, yeah, I guess she has two.
Oh, okay, I know.
Yeah, she has two. But now we're talking about comedians. I mean, we've gone off the beaten track here with only 15 minutes left. More about jokes. If you were to teach, let's put this out here to you jokesters, you people. Mm-hmm. If you were to teach someone to write a joke, what would be like one or two things you would tell them to do? Or can you actually teach someone to write a joke, or do jokes just come intrinsically from people who see and hear things funny? What do you think about that, Tom?
I think you can. You can teach people how to write jokes. You can.
Remember that movie with Tom Hanks and Sally Field? Was that called Stand Up? What was that called? Whatever. Where she wants to be a comedian. He teaches her about... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot the name
of
that.
You can teach people how to write jokes.
Have you ever seen that, Jeremy?
No.
I totally recommend, especially if you're going to get into stand-up, I really recommend that movie.
Yeah, I forgot the name of it. Yeah. Tom Hanks
And Sally Field.
Sally Field, of all people. And she does a great job at the... John Goodman's her husband. That? Yeah. Okay, Tom, so what would you do if you can teach someone a joke? How do you what would you say?
Well, that's a
good, now not just to how to say it, but maybe how to write it. Because before, what would you say?
I guess you know, if I had to like give a course in writing jokes, the first thing I would do is like, what makes you laugh? You know, maybe we would write down what makes you laugh, and then get down to the element of it, I'm really going on. This is a sucky explanation here.
Yeah, it's a sucky question, really. It's a
tough
one.
One of the things it would be, like I'm finding with Twitter, is you can actually be as concise as possible, but you still have to get enough information in there. Otherwise, it's not funny. You know, you need to have enough information, but don't go beyond that. Beyond enough of the information.
Yeah, especially.
And then I guess I would, because I would probably focus on those kinds of jokes where people are expecting something. Maybe I would start there with people expecting one thing, and then you twist it, you know, some of the jokes that we mentioned tonight. Yeah.
Everyone thinks puns. I mean, I think most people think puns, so you can. Another thing to do, I think a good exercise would be is to get some jokes, get them or look at them written down, and as a good exercise, change the subject and maybe the action. And you'll find, because when you realize how similar jokes can be to one another, then you can actually come up, see those forms. Oh, here's the one where you ask what, here's the one where you say who, here's the one where you trip. I found over the years, playing music over the years, and so many different kinds of music, you get this feel of, you don't have to know a song. You know of a song, and maybe you never played it or something like that. And you have this feels like, you know, a lot of songs are pretty much alike, and you can actually fall into the song you don't know and do it. I mean, I do it all the time, because when I'm playing at the coffee shop, so other people go, oh, do this one. And I remember hearing it, but I never did it. But I know it's got this certain, same thing with jokes. You know, I know it has this certain rhythm. It has this certain chord pattern. There's patterns, is what I'm saying. There's patterns. Yeah. And it's almost like, I hate to make this sound mathematical, but it is almost mathematical. So maybe if I would tell somebody, look at some jokes you know or you like, take them and try to change them around. Now, Jeremy, you write joke, you've had influences. How do you write a joke? Do you just think of stuff that you think is funny? How do you write a joke?
A lot of my jokes are observational type stuff, like everyday things. Tom, and like, because you can take everyday things that people might think are funny and then never talk about, or maybe people don't look at them in a funny manner, but then you can find something funny in them and turn them into a joke. And you can take a true situation and maybe just kind of expand on it a bit and make it comical, and that's what most of my jokes are.
Well, what he's saying, Tom, and this is really, really important, is that maybe you could teach people to write jokes and say jokes, but if you're not... But you're looking around, you're seeing things that are humorous in your own life. If you're not seeing things that are humorous in your own life, then I think you either need Xanax, not a joke course, I guess.
That observational thing, I think you're on a good path there, Jeremy, because that's the way to go with stand-up. You know, unless you have some really out-left-field, bizarre, unique thing that, you know, only, like... Who the guy from Taxi? Remember him, Frank? Who died?
Andy Kaufman. Yeah, that was. No. Yeah, that was.
I mean, that's like a unique thing. But if you're, and I'm not suggesting
that's more that, performance art. Well, yeah, that wasn't joke. That was performance art in a sense.
Right. Alternative persona, Tony Clifton.
Well, whatever. Yeah, but it was all performance art. It was. He didn't get up and tell you. You know why did spook? Yeah. Why did the chicken? You know who? Remember what's his name? I actually met him a few times. He's dead now. Pat McCormick. He was on the big fat guy.
Yeah.
As opposed to the little fat guy, big fat guy who was. He was a Johnny Carson writer for ages, and he was in all the Smokey and the Bandit movies. He was one. Yeah.
Wasn't he the governor of Jersey for a while?
Was he? Wow! What?
You do that a lot. The whole. Big fat guy as opposed to little fat guy.
Yeah, I do that.
And because you do that so often, it's been imprinted into my brain. When my dad and I were in D.C. this past weekend, we were at a restaurant, and the guy said, here, take this. We had to put our name in for a wait. Here, take this buzzer, and I'll call your name in a quick sec. As opposed to a long second.
Yeah, taking phrases that are, I don't know if that's colloquial or whatever. Yeah, taking phrases and making them into, sure. And make that, I guess that's literal too. Not a quick sec. There's no such thing. It's also repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I forgot what I was saying. Oh, Pat McCormick would take regular jokes and just make them absolutely absurd. They say, you walked up to me, and you just tell jokes. He walked up to me this one time, and he said, why'd the punk rock chicken cross the road? You didn't even have to, you don't even have to hear. Yeah, why did the punk rock chicken cross the road? Not just the chicken, and why the chicken crossed the road is actually an anti-joke. Wait a second, that's an anti-joke.
The punk rock?
No, chicken? The original chicken joke. Why did chicken cross the road?
To get to the other side.
That
is an anti-joke.
That's probably one of the first ever anti-jokes.
Yes, that could be the beginning of the whole thing. Someone heard that and said, what about the girl eating ice cream? A fire truck hit her.
A priest, a rabbi, and what is it?
I forget who the third.
A priest, a rabbi, and
a sheik
walk into a bar, and three good friends enjoy an evening of catching up.
Oh God, it's okay. I'm telling you, it's just, yeah. Well, you know, we'll have to do this again and get
and
into
their their evening was disrupted when a gorilla came in.
callbacks are great, aren't they? Because they it really shows if not only people are paying attention, but you get a chance to do a cheap joke.
I think sometimes I try too hard to put a callback in because I like them so much. I'm trying to fit. I always try and fit one in somewhere.
I guess you have to fit it in with something you know people are going to remember. You can't just call back on anything. You got something you knew they laughed about, some strong thing where you could go back and do it. I suggest everybody listens to some. You got to, Tom, if you have time after the show, go to YouTube and get Dom Irrera. You will not stop laughing.
I will check him out. Promise that you check out Sebastian Maldoscano.
Maniscalco.
Maniscalco.
Even I remember his name here. I got to write him down. I'll never forget the last name, Maniscalco, because that was Mr. Maniscalco. Say, boys! I remember. Hey, imitation is also imitation.
Impressions.
Impressions.
That's a whole Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey had terrible jokes, but good impressions.
That's right. He started out doing impressions.
Yeah. Sammy Davis Jr. He did really good Sammy Davis Jr. because he has the obscure capability of keeping one eye straight and moving the other eye around.
That's a great, you know, you should you use that line, Jeremy, in your routine about, like, you know, he had this, for most of his life, his mother was criticizing him for this eye problem that he now, you know, put to good use. Yeah,
the things that I know. Yes, I know that I make people roll without even trying to do it. If I just I've taken things the personality of my father that is really funny to me and have made it. And Tom knew my father personally, you know, but I didn't ever realize they were that funny. But they are, and it's he just became this character of comedic wisdom. And I'll give you an idea. Just one idea, which always works. And I was just doing this because I was telling people about my father. You know, it's really funny. Every time the television, there was a disruption on the television, the static, my father would say this, and we'd all know, there's a static. Somebody must be using something. Well, it just about nails it, Dad, doesn't it? And these are things people just used to say. People said this stuff all the time, that generation. Yeah. Somebody must be using something.
You know what? At the beginning of...
Well, Dad, people are using a lot of things, right? You know, I mean, you could just go off on that forever.
I have two things, actually. When you said that, when you said somebody somewhere is using something, it reminds me of another fantastic newer comedian who unfortunately passed away way too young. His name is Mitch Hedberg.
Oh, Mitch Hedberg. I do remember. Did you ever see Mitch Hedberg? Tom? Okay.
He had a joke that you just reminded me of when you said that. He says whenever he's going to shave, he assumes that someone else in the world is shaving, so he says, I'm going to go shave too.
I'm gonna go shave too. Yeah, there's some of these obvious kind of things. Yes.
Then what you were saying about your dad with the TV. My grandmother used to before a movie. If you're watching a movie, it always says this video or whatever has been modified from its original version to fit on your television screen. Mm-hmm. She would always say, "Good thing we're watching it on your TV."
You guys, we could go on and on and on. I hope everybody out there learned something at all. Believe it or not, this 2 hours has just flown by, and the theme is going to be coming up here shortly. Anybody who wants to stay can stay for a while. We'll make some coffee or something, what have you. I just have to get this show ready. It'll be on Facebook. Don't forget Frank Atolo. You can download the show on Facebook in a matter of minutes. It's going to happen, okay? And then any number of other places where you can see it, hear it. Live, we can do that there, but we do have to. Hey, Tom, listen, we'll do it again, and it might not be comedy. We'll do something again, Tom. Everybody, just keep watching watch the blog and stuff, and listen to the show. I think Heather Drain will be here next week to talk about bad movies. That ought to be great. Tom, thanks again.
You're welcome. Have a great time.
Thanks, Tom.
Time, everybody say goodnight, Tom.
Goodnight, Tom. Goodnight, Mary Jane.
Okay, Tom. Thanks, and you'll be in touch, man. Okay. If you want to stay on the line and talk, we can. I just have to get the hell out of this thing there. So just hold on there for a second, okay? And we'll have a proper good one. Everybody else, you know where to go. What?
Wherever you go,
Wherever you go, that's where you are. They love it. See? It's an anti-joke. That's the way he signed off every time on radio. Don't forget, wherever you go, that's where you are. We'll be back. We'll be back. All of you other people know what to do, where to go for the tweets and the Facebooks and stuff. And Jeremy?
Now I know we're closing up, but did you hear the one Smitty said the other day?
What?
He said, growing old will kill you.
Growing old will kill you. You'll never get out of this world alive. Okay. Well, good night, Mrs. Ernst Weil, wherever you are. Everybody else, go out and buy the books, too. Molotov Memoirs and License to Skill and everything else that we got coming. And go watch Jeremy. You playing anywhere soon?
There's still that Elks Theater show coming.
The Elks Theater show, yeah, right. We'll talk about that some other time. Okay. You will be. Okay, we'll talk about that later then. Good night, everyone. And we'll see you again next time as we chronicle. I'm going to go now. I got nothing more to say.